Hello and welcome to the Blues Guitar Show podcast with me, Ben Martin, from thebluesguitarshow.com. Hope everyone's having a great week out there this week. Now, this week we are covering slide guitar, which is really, really exciting. I love playing slide guitar. It's something that I've kind of got into, I guess, in the last maybe 2 years, maybe the last year, really. I'm trying to get better at it, so I'm kind of working my way through this, as you guys are too. But I really, really enjoy playing it. It's so much, so much fun. But before we do, let's start off with this week's news. This week, the news is coming from Music Radar, and they released a list of the best guitars. The best guitars, can you imagine that, of 2023. So I thought we'd just have a little look through what they are rating as the best guitars of the year so far. So number five, I guess this is kind of, maybe five is going to one. One's the best, I'm guessing. Number five, they've got the Epiphone SG Standard. So these mahogany body, mahogany neck, Indian Laurel fingerboard, 22 frets. All the kind of normal stuff that you'd look to find on an SG, with the finishes in the Heritage Cherry, Ebony and Alpine White. Now, it says they decided to feature the Epiphone version for a few reasons. First of all, the price point is pretty difficult to beat. Well, I would agree with that. I think they are fantastic guitars for the price. And by the looks of things, this does seem to be a kind of a lower level price tier list that they're trying to go for here, the sort of best electric guitars, I guess, for the price. I suppose it stops it being a list of incredibly expensive vintage stuff that nobody can afford. But the price is great. The level of finishing on the new Inspired by Gibson range is phenomenal and a definite step forward from the previous incarnation. Secondly, and arguably most important, is the sound. We must say we're presently surprised how good this guitar sounds. It really does sound like an SG. Considering it's about a third of the price of the Gibson version, that's no mean feat. Now, I often find that when it comes to stuff like Epiphones, Squires, any of what would be considered, I mean, LTDs, the lower tier range of an upper tier range guitar brand. I don't know if that makes any sense what I just said, but any of your Fenders, Squires, Defenders, Epiphones to Gibsons, any of those lower range ones, you do often find that at the top of tier, at the upper tier of the Epiphones or Squire ranges, you tend to get instruments that are pretty comparable to the lower range of their sort of older brothers in Fender and Gibson. Now, I went to one of the trade shows in Asia a couple of years ago and went to the Gibson stand and played a Gibson Hummingbird acoustic. And I was surprised by what the quality really was like. I know Gibson have had their up and downs in the last few years, but I've played countless Epiphones that played better than that Gibson did. So sometimes there is an element of you're paying for the prestige of the name that's on the top. So that is definitely true. I think SGs are a great instrument. You're never going to go wrong with an Epiphone. I think they're brilliantly built. I think they're really well made. I think there's no kind of hanging on the kind of prestige of the name in a way of providing subpar stuff. So I think if you're in the market for a new electric, you can do a lot worse. So I totally agree with that. Number four is the Squire Classic Vibe 60s Strat. These are the Maple Neck one, Indian Laurel Fingerboard. They come in three colours, Sunburst, Blue and Candy Apple Red. Fantastic instruments. I mean, there's been loads of coverage about the Classic Vibe range on the internet because they are so good. And they're actually a really good example of the Classic Vibes rivaling the sort of lower end Fenders, for sure. The 60s Classic Vibe Stratocaster is essentially a tribute to the original Fender model, recreating the signature Strat tone and feel thanks to a trio of Fender-designed single-coil pickups and the slim C neck profile. Yeah, I totally agree. Brilliant guitars, absolutely fantastic. Can't go wrong with a Strat. Can't go wrong with a Squire Strat. I've got two Fenders and one Squire, and I play them equally. I've got a Fender Telecaster, which I'm sure a lot of you know, and a Squire Silver Series Stratocaster. And I play the Strat as much as I play the Tele. They really are brilliant guitars. Number three is the Gretsch G2622, nice catchy name they've got there, Gretsch, well done. The Gretsch Streamliner, which is a kind of budget semi-hollow with an authentic Gretsch vibe. Now, these are also brilliant instruments. We used to have these at the office. I used to play one of these quite a lot. If you go over to my Instagram, at Ben Martin Guitar Instagram, you can see some videos of me playing them. Really fun instruments. I always find that semi-hollows tend to have a bit of a pickup issue, a feedback issue rather, but generally really comfortable to play, great sounding instruments. Number two, I'm going to try and not make this take the whole episode. Number two is a Harley Benton Fusion 2 HH. I've not played the new Harley Bentons. I've played the old Harley Bentons and they are terrible. I've heard lots of good things about the new Harley Bentons. I've heard that they got considerably better and really, you really can't beat the price point of these. I mean, you are looking for, you know, it's less than $1,000 for a lot of guitar. But Harley Benton, they've got quite a range. You know, this one I think is, what did it say the price is on this one? It says under $1,000. Is that right? Yeah, I mean, under $1,000. I mean, No, I'm talking rubbish. It's sub $500. Now, that makes more sense. I was thinking $1,000 is a lot. Okay, yeah, under $500. This is kind of their whole wheelhouse is the under $500 guitars, and they can go way down to like $79 for a guitar. I've heard really good things about them. I've never tried them. They look really nice. They've got a flame maple top, which is really cool for a guitar of that kind of price. Canadian maple with satin finish back, bolt-on neck, obviously. Jumbo stainless steel frets. Yeah, I mean, they look like they're great guitars. They have a Floyd Rose, which a bit of a love it or hate it situation there. I can't stand Floyd Roses because I'm a bit lazy and I don't like to restring things that are tricky to restring, but I've heard they're very good for other reasons. Very impressive spec for that price, for anything of that price. It says it's a little bit on the heavy side, potentially. Roasted maple neck, stainless steel frets, Floyd Rose, all for under $1,000. We wouldn't expect it. Yeah, you would expect those kind of specs to be on a guitar that's more like $1,000, not like under $500. So very impressive. I'll have to reserve judgment until I played one. But like, as I say, I played some of the older Harley Bentons, and I had a Harley Benton bass before, and they were not good. So let's hope the new ones are better. And then number one is the Yamaha Pacifica 112V. Pacifica's excellent guitars. They've been a sort of... When I was first playing guitar, I feel like lots of people had Yamaha Pacificas. There was a bit of a period where people stopped buying Squire Strats for a while. They got a bit expensive and everyone started buying Yamaha Pacificas because they were like the beginner kind of guitar. They've always been great. Yamaha make great stuff. It says it's this is a more modern version. It's brighter and lighter kind of take on a hot rod Strat. It doesn't mean, when they say brighter, it doesn't mean overly shrill. In fact, the bridge humbucker will surprise some. It's beefy without being too mid-range heavy. So there you go. That's quite a cool bit of news, isn't it? The best guitars of 2023. I mean, considering we're only in March, that's quite a bold thing to do. But yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. I would agree with most of that list. I can't think of anything that I would put on it that's not on it. If we're looking at kind of budget range guitars. I've got some students who play Cort guitars. They're also very good. They've got a very good Strat version. And the Aria guitars. I think the Aria guitars are brilliant. I actually bought one for my brother around Christmas time. They are slightly more expensive than the stuff on that list, but the Aria Pro 2s are brilliant guitars. I mean, anything that's kind of come out of Aria has been really, really good. So we are talking slide today, and we're talking slide in drop D, not drop D, in open D tuning. So let me first talk you through the tuning of how it works. And open tuning means that I have my guitar tuned to a chord, effectively. That's the way that open tunings work. So that's what my guitar sounds like if I just strum it all open. I'm going to talk you through the individual notes that I'm playing. We've got D, A, D. So in terms of the top of the guitar, if you're used to playing anything in dad-gad, D-A-D, G-A-D tuning, it's very similar, but with one key difference. So we've got D-A-D, F-sharp, A-D. Which means it's quite a good way to check in your tuning, because you've got three Ds, Two A's. Two A's slightly out of tune, and an F sharp. So all together we get the... And what this means is it means that we can kind of open up our guitar playing, that we don't have to use too much fretted stuff, which if we're playing slide guitar is a massive bonus. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at three chords that take us through a 12 bar in that tuning. So an open D chord is obviously just everything open. Now, our 5 chord, if we're looking at playing a 12 bar, this would be our 1 chord, the open D. Our 5 chord would be an F. For the F, we're just going to put our slide on fret 5. Make sure it's on the bar, that you bar, sorry, over the actual fret. So that's our D, sliding up to our F. And then, of course, if we want to go up to our 5 chord, we know our 5 chord is always just 2 frets above our 4 chord. So our 4 chord is on fret 5, and we've got the F. To go up to G, we just need to go up to fret 7. So you could play a 12 bar just like that. You could just do a bit of finger picking, that's all. Slide up to 5. Back down. Up to the 5 chord. 4 chord. That could be all we need to do. If you want to play and sing at the same time, that's a really cool thing to do, to be able to just play a 12 bar in open D. It's a great sound. What we're going to learn is a couple of little licks that go along with it. So we're going to go... So we're going to start off in the open D one. And what we're going to do is we're going to play top string open. Then fourth string and first string together. Now so far the only note I've played is D. Take your slide and we're going to go on string 1, 3 down to 2, open. And again, make sure when we're playing slide that we're always going over the fret. If we're in between the frets, you get a slightly flat sound. What we're going to do after that is just go up onto the second string and do the reverse. We're going to go fret 2 to fret 3. And then open D string, open string 1. So that's... bottom string 3, 2, 0. Second string 2, 3. Bottom string 0. We go 1, 2. Okay, so that's the first part. Second part starts exactly the same. Then we're going to go second string, 3, 2, 0. Fourth string, 3, 2, 0. Those two parts together, the D section. Then we go up to the slide from 4 to 5. Back to D. Up to 7. 7, 6, 5. Back to D. A little bit at the end there, just fret 12 on the string 1. So there we have a really quick, actionable piece of slide playing you can try out today in open D tuning. Really fun to experiment with open D. It's something that I really enjoy playing. I wish I could play more slide. I wish I was better at playing slide. But certainly now that I've got the resonator to be playing on, something I'm going to be working on a lot more. So hopefully going to start bringing into my kind of gigging repertoire soon. I was supposed to do some slide at a gig I played on Friday night, and I kind of chickened out last minute and just went back to fingerstyle, but I will get there. Cool. I really hope that was useful for everybody. Don't forget you can support the show using the Buy Me A Coffee link. Thank you very much to everybody that supports the show. David, Cormac, Bill, you guys are all great. James, Jamie, there's too many names to read. But thank you all. And everyone that sends me emails is really, really useful. Helps me kind of shape what I'm going to do in the next episode. So if you want to ask a question, you can do so ben@thebluesguitarshow.com. I've got one question here from Andrew up in Scotland. Thank you for listening, Andrew. It's very, very cool. He's got a question. He says, if I'm jamming with friends and we're playing a 12 bar in the key of G, am I okay to use the G minor pentatonic scale across all of the chords? The short answer is yes. You can absolutely use the G minor pentatonic. That's one of the key things about the pentatonic scale that's so useful, is that you can use it over all of the three chords in a typical 12 bar blues. If you're playing with people who are kind of throwing in chord substitutions or any kind of jazz chords, you might find it's a little bit different, or if it's a minor blues, it could be a little bit different. But if it's a straight kind of regular, just like we did today, three chord, your one, your four and your five blues, absolutely you can use that over all of them. And it's a really good exercise actually to play along with the backing track like that and just see and experiment where that takes you with the different shapes of the minor pentatonic. It's a great stepping stone to being able to play fully fledged, really great sounding solos. Thank you, Andrew, for the question. Really, really helpful. Hope that was useful for everybody. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Instagram at Blues Guitar Show Podcast. Head over to thebluesguitarshow.com for anything else you need. My acoustic blues course is still available. Link in the show notes below. And don't forget to leave a review. I'll catch you all next week. Are you fully fretboard confident? Do you know where the notes are, how they connect, and how they move up and down the strings? My latest book, The Triad Method, is all about using simple three-note shapes to completely unlock the fretboard. This book is absolutely full of light bulb moments that are going to demystify the neck three notes at a time. I've compiled a huge number of diagrams, shapes, and exercises based on over 10 years of teaching this stuff to make it as simple as possible. Download The Triad Method and see for yourself today. Link is in the description below.